another episode of Scare Traducing, the horror movie podcast for horror movie virgins. I'm Callum McNabb.
I'm Gisela Martinez.
And we are here today to talk about a new release for 2022 called Dashcam, which, if you are a horror movie fan, you've probably heard about. If you are a horror movie virgin, you might have heard about, because of the, I don't know if controversy is the right word, but certainly this movie had generated some form of online discussion earlier this month, late last month. However, given the nature of online discourse, that's kind of gone away and people are no longer talking about it anymore, which means we are late to the party by being a whole, what, week late with the episode?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, no, like, just the way that Twitter is like, everybody that's into films and into horror films, everybody's talking about Dashcam, and then 5 days later, nobody's talking about Dashcam. Like, not a single person. Like,
I just think that's in general.
I know that. That's my kind of point, but it's just kind of crazy because you're thinking, ah, we should do an episode on that because people seem interested in it or whatever. And then recently it's like, are people interested in it? I don't actually know anymore.
I mean, it's not
Did
like
everyone see it? Did everyone just not see it? Did everyone just ignore it?
Callum, it's not like the 60s or 70s when, like, oh, like Psycho, The Exorcist, and then that will be the talk for the whole summer, the mm-hmm. whole season or whatever. Now everything goes like days or like... It doesn't even last a week when there's a controversial thing, and because it's the next one and the next one and
it doesn't even need to be controversial. I'm trying to think, what was the last movie that had discourse that was talked about for weeks and weeks?
I know which one. Is the one that everybody fainted, or someone, the people fainted in Cannes, or
oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
It wasn't Raw. Or people saying that there was a thing, say, I mean, I don't know.
It didn't last that long, though.
But still, it was a thing.
Yeah, but Raw was a good number of years ago now. I would say it might be Midsommar. People still talk about Midsommar.
Oh, I don't. I mean, because they like the movie, or because they like the director, or Florence Pugh. I don't think it's because of what it is, or like effects that it had. Or
Top Gun Maverick is certainly on course to being talked about quite a lot. But it's still quite a new film.
And that's not a horror movie.
I know it's not a horror film. But anyway, Dashcam was the talk of the town for, you know, quite some time until it came out. And then everyone either A, saw it and, you know, gave their opinions and moved mm-hmm. on, or B, just completely ignored it. That's kind of the world we live in. And so here we are. We saw it, we're now giving our opinions on it,
mm-hmm.
and it's later than everyone seems to be, I don't know.
But still, we do have our opinion.
We do have our opinions, of course we do. So, before we get into it, as always with our most recent incarnation of this podcast, we ask the question, is this a good place to start? For people who are not really horror fans and are looking for something to get them in the door, and where do they go from there? So we have done that with Lux Aeterna, and we have done it with A24's Alex Garland's most recent film, Men. And so we are now going to do it with Dashcam.
Hi, I'm Annie Hardy, and you're watching VanCar. Another day in paradise.
Listen, I just need you to take my friend somewhere nearby.
This is Angela, her and I, taking a trip. Did you find me?
Shit.
So, very quickly and non-spoilerifically, if that's a word, Gisela, if someone comes to you and says, not a big fan of horror, thinking of getting into horror, is Dashcam a movie that you could sort of see them enjoying, or thinking, it's going to open the door to further things. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah. I will say yes. I will say yes. I mean, it's like, it's short.
It's very short.
It's, it has all the elements of the old style, like, I mean, I think it's coming back, kind of like, record something that is like, oh, this is real life, and then things happen, whether you record it with a phone call on Zoom, or like, what?
You said, you're talking about found footage films.
Yeah, like things right. like that.
Hold on.
Well, okay.
The word, the terminology you just used was old style.
Yeah.
Right.
It's quite old.
The found footage boom is, you're talking about
in the
like,
90s. It's in the 90s.
I mean, Blair Witch is the 90s.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't really hit big until Wreck is 2007. Paranormal Activity is 2007, 2008.
Okay.
Troll Hunter and that's all 2008.
Well, all those
it's
kind
like
of movies.
Late 2000s
yeah.
when it becomes the go-to horror movie style.
So that's
there's cool. a Paranormal Activity movie every year. There's three Wreck sequels. There's
so that's what, like, Devil's 20 Due. Years?
Since 2008.
No, I mean, like, well, obviously not 2008, but since everything started.
Well, I mean, if you go back to Cannibal Holocaust, you're going way back to, like, the 70s. But I mean,
no,
when it becomes... the thing that every horror movie studio is trying to release, a cheap horror movie, and it looks, it's found footage or it's mockumentary. They even do it for like The Fourth Kind and stuff. That's all like late 2000s, early 2010s.
Okay, oh, there you go.
So what I was laughing at was in the pub we were at earlier today, you said people think anything before 1995
is old. Yeah.
Well, you just called a cinematic genre that really only became big in 2007... You just called it old.
But to be fair, in horror, I think those periods go past really quickly.
I disagree.
Like, for example, right now we've been a really big period for elevated horror.
Right, yeah.
But it's,
before
we're
that,
starting,
it's found footage.
Yeah, and yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's literally one
but that's the
cycle
thing.
Before the
and
one
And I feel like
now.
This is going to end, like, soon, or starting to end.
Okay.
So I can feel like that's what I meant. Like,
right.
I didn't try to mean all, like, the old way to do it, like, I don't know, like the past, like the
yes,
no fashion way to do things anymore. So I think that's a way to bring back that kind of horror that, as you said, is cheap. It's
very
like
cheap.
You can just do it like with your phone. Like, I mean, phones right now like are great quality, like
mm-hmm.
even your laptop, and they will believe you because it's things that you use and see every day. They were like, oh yeah, I can see that happening, and the quality doesn't need to be amazing because you know that's real quality that you use and you are used to it. So it's easy to someone to get into this kind of movie. And then things happen, like, fast, I will say. Like, this girl and that happened and then this happened. And you don't know what's happening, but things are happening and done. So
this happens, that happens. You don't know what's happening, but it happens and then done.
Yes, and that I think is
explain to me what any of that meant.
I'm just saying, like, you get attacked by all these things happening, and it's an easy movie to watch. I will totally recommend this movie to someone that is getting to, or wants to try to watch horror movies.
I would agree with you. Now, that might seem like a controversial statement, given the nature of what this film is about and the character it portrays, which we will get into, obviously,
yeah, we'll
when we
explain.
Get into it, but... As Izella says, there is, it's very short, it's very in-your-face, kind of violent, bloody, squelchy at times, like there's a lot of, there is bodily functions that are gross, and horror has, through various genres, always done that, whether it's found footage as we talked about, whether it's exploitation movies or body horror, which are like super gory. I think this movie is potentially a doorway into that via probably found footage. So like if I was to draw a family tree of it, I would say from this movie you either go to Host, which is the same director and writers as this movie. Their names of course are Rob Savage is the director, and Jez Shepherd and Gemma Hurley are his co-writers. So you could go to host. From host, you can go to Unfriended.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you just back up from there and you go to the Paranormal Activities or you go to Rec. And then you end up at the Blair Witch Project. From the Blair Witch Project, you then go back to any film that's about being lost somewhere. It could be Cannibal Holocaust, which takes you into, again, controversy, super controversial movie, and very exploitation and all the sort of dirty, awkward politics of 70s horror. You can get all that. What else could you do? You could do the main character in this movie raps. And there is a poop-based sequence in this movie. Well, not poop-based, but shit is involved. So I was trying to think, what's another movie that involves rapping and shit? There really is only one, of course. And it's found footage.
Uh-huh.
The Visit.
Oh my god, yeah. I love that movie.
Right? You then
immediately... That's a good movie to like start watching horror. Right?
But from there, but you're, no, it's you're too hard. In M. Night Shyamalan.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go back to The Sixth Sense or Signs. And from Signs, you're into alien horror. I haven't seen it. That's what I mean. Like this, I agree with you that I think Dashcam, as controversial as it may have been, or some people have said that the controversy is sort of overdone and it's actually not as, what's the word I'm looking for? Not as edgy as it thinks it is, or mm-hmm. it's more of a troll than it is actually, revolutionary is not the right word, but you know, it's not pushing any boundaries, it's sort of just annoying.
Yeah.
Do you know, the term I kept thinking of, and I don't know if this is a term, but I'm going to start it now, I hate the term elevated horror, but I said in our last episode that that's the term that people use or that critics use or to talk about metaphor-based horror. And I said, I think Men might be signalling the end of that. And this dashcam, it might not be the beginning of something, but it could be the beginning of something. By, again, you're saying, but found footage already exists, but not as obnoxious as this. This is obnoxious horror. If you've got elevated horror that's ending, then maybe obnoxious horror is starting. Because we are coming out of, you know, an era of politics that involve heightened racism and heightened xenophobia and misogyny. And these things are all slowly creeping back into the public sphere. Bigotry in a way, that's, you know, with your Trumps, etc. And, as I said, Brexit over here. So maybe horror cinema does start to reflect that or those fears. Who knows mm-hmm. what it looks like in the future? I just think, like you said, I think we're slowly at the end of a cycle of horror and we'll need to see where it goes from here. And I think that's why I think we're seeing the return of Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's anything to do with this film.
Oh, the
Michael Myers.
Chainsaw.
Scream is back. Texas Chainsaw's back.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Aliens coming back on TV. Predator's coming back direct to Hulu. Chucky is back on TV. I think we've ended a cycle of horror. We're not quite sure where we go next. So what do? We just get the old guard in to patch the gap. That's what I think mm-hmm. is happening.
Yeah, I can see that.
Before some artistic movement happens that takes us off in a new direction, we just fall back on easy money and maybe the new direction is obnoxious horror. That's the term I'm coining for this film. Dashcam is obnoxious horror. That's what I'm calling it, folks. But I do agree it's a good place to start. So, from here on in,
mm-hmm.
you have been warned. Spoilers. If you have not seen Dashcam...
And you want to see it.
And you want to see it, then I don't recommend you listen.
And again, it might be difficult for you to try to watch it because we struggle to see where we will go and see this movie. It's not in the mainstream cinemas. So we had to go to like more like indie independent cinema. So yeah, if you really want to watch it, just like actually look for it. Do your research because of the kind of film that it is. They're trying to like, oh no, we don't agree. We watch on the film, blah, 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 or whatever. Cinemas are not playing it.
So this is the thing. So this was the initial controversy. So a couple of weeks ago, Rob Savage, the director, tweeted out an email that he had received, or someone in had received, that suggested View Cinema Chain, which is a big cinema chain here in the UK, had pulled the film at the last minute because of its content.
And yeah, last minute, we're talking like...
a few days before
it's scheduled like to be released. Yeah, like Wednesday. And now, it's supposed to be on Friday.
View have disputed this and said that that's not correct. They pulled it because they just had movies that were going to make them more money. I believe that, to be fair. This movie's not going to make you any money. And if, you know, we've already seen Cineworld is getting protests over another film that apparently something to do with depictions of the Prophet Muhammad. They're getting super protests down in London, I think, recently.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get anything like that for Dashcam. So to me, it doesn't really make sense that they would pull it for nobody. People were saying that this film's a bit, maybe it's racist, maybe it's obnoxious, or maybe it's this or whatever. But nobody was, you know, going to View and harassing staff or, you know, actually protesting at their main cinema chains. It seems like a weird choice to pull it. I think it is money based. When they came out and said that, I was like, I probably believe that because this movie's not going to make you any money.
Yeah.
So it, but yes, here in the UK at least, it came out in independent cinemas only. His previous film, Host, didn't even get released in theatres here, as far as I'm aware. It just went straight to Shudder. I think it got released in the States theatrically, but not here. Which is weird, I think, because people are really... Well, this one not so much, but people really liked Host. So you would think maybe there's an audience for Dashcam, his newest film. Let's give it a go. But nobody was willing to give it a go except indie films. Anyway, it came out, it didn't really perform very well. Critically, it was a bit, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. It's sort of like pretty much bang in the middle. Mm-hmm. Some people think, like us, like, yes, it's annoying and obnoxious, but do you know what? I had a good time. Other people think, like, I mean, we may as well just get into it. The main character of this movie is Annie Hardy, playing herself, basically. A heightened version of herself.
I don't know her.
So she is a musician.
I'm such a, like, Mariah. I don't know her.
I don't know who she is either. So it is... Let's just go with the synopsis on IMDb, which says two friends, friends being very loosely applied here, embark on a horror-fueled road trip and live stream the most terrifying night of their lives. And it has a 4.8 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, I think, is 50%. So it's like pretty much slap bang in the middle. Mm-hmm. People just can't agree on this. So the main character is Annie Hardy playing herself. Now, she is a musician in the States. She was in a band called Giant Drag, I think is her name. I know nothing about them. This is all that I've learned this. But she does, as far as I'm aware, do this live stream band camp where she drives around.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's a real thing.
Okay.
So what they've done is they've taken Annie Hardy, asked her, can you play yourself, but like just dial it up to 10. So as far, again, I haven't done a shit ton of research, but as far as I'm aware, Annie Hardy is in real life an anti-vaxxer.
Oh.
So in this movie, she's a fucking huge anti-vaxxer.
Oh, wow. Huge, oh, I didn't know
hugely
this.
Hugely a MAGA fan. Now, I'm not sure if she's a pro-Trump fan in real life. I don't know. But in this film, they dial up her personality. But I think there is definitely a basis there of, well, she does agree and believe in some of this stuff. So let's just... The movie's ramped up to 11, so let's ramp her personality up to 11. And I can see why some people would be like, I don't want to watch that. We are just out the back of a pandemic and lockdown. Mm-hmm. Really not in the mood for watching a woman just shout at the screen for an hour about how it was all a hoax and you should take your mask off and you're sheeple. And it's really fucking obnoxious. I agree that it is really obnoxious. However, I took it as I said, I didn't know anything about Annie Hardy going into this movie. I took it as this is trolling. This is like, it's like the internet come to life. Like, you've dealt with these people online. You've dealt with these people. You've probably dealt with them in your real life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these people exist. So let's have a movie about someone that's so obsessed with conspiracies and stuff, basically stumble onto a conspiracy, and all the people that watch her, all her echo chamber fans, none of them believe it, because she has, it's like a live stream, we're watching a live stream. So you see the comments pop up at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
And these people are all, you know, racist, they're all pro-Trump, and they're all COVID's a lie, and whatever, blah,
white
blah, blah.
Trash.
Right? You can say that if you want. They are kind of white trashy, but, yeah, like, all this stuff's fake, it's all conspiracy to keep you indoors and stuff. And imagine what would happen if these people, what if their leader stumbled onto a real conspiracy? A different one, but still one that appears to be some form of disease-based, cult-based, because those people are all obsessed with Hollywood being the Illuminati stuff. What if that actually happened? Right? And still none of them believe it. They're basically, all their beliefs are coming to life. Everything is being proven to them live, and they still can't accept it. Like, essentially, it's a movie about, like, these people really aren't interested in what their convictions are. They're more interested in just annoying the liberals or the left. You know, they're obsessed with annoying people rather than I actually believe that. And they might believe it. Again, you can tie yourself in knots. But to me, that's what I was watching the movie about, was like, this is just a bunch of people who are just trying to annoy. That's their goal. It doesn't really matter if what they say ends up being true. They don't care if it's true or not.
Yeah.
They care about annoying the fuck out of you over there.
Yeah.
The guy that got the vaccine, I want to annoy him. Doesn't matter if I'm right, doesn't matter if he's right. I just want to piss him off. It's like the internet, social media come to life. How would that manifest itself as a horror movie? And this is one version. It's not the only version of that, but it's one version of that story. That's what
And fair enough, because we've seen, like, the other version, the one that is the, I do believe in this and do believe in that. Like,
what do you mean?
Like, we're seeing, okay, people are saying, I'm not going to the cinema to see this version of people that anti-vaccine, conspiracy theory. But you've seen other versions of people that isn't the other, like, the, let's call it, like, the right way to think. I don't know. Like, everybody thinks like this way, but this is weird people. But it's also interesting to see how they believe in this and, like, get into that. Like, I don't know anything, or I don't know why they believe that way. I don't know. So let's see it. And I think this movie, it proves that they don't even believe it. They just want, as you said, just annoy it.
And that's what I took
it. And there's, and probably there's a lot of people that like that. Like, they just actually don't believe. They don't, they just got told and they believe whatever they got told and they got brainwashed and they're like, I don't know what's on that. I'm not going to put it in my body. Bitch, you drink vodka and you don't even know what's on vodka, or you like Mountain Dew. You don't even know what's in Mountain Dew. Probably it's detergent and you're drinking it. So, yeah. So I think you just need to see the movie as, let's see, and put ourselves in those shoes to see what they think. What's their life? Like, and we clearly see the life of this girl. Like, I'm fed up living in the States with all this rules and whatever. So she goes to visit his friend in England. Her friend in England. And again, because of the way she is, her attitude, her, like, beliefs and everything, like, annoys the friends and the girlfriend that live together there. And
she's a horrible person.
Yeah, she's a horrible person. And then you're like, you're watching the movie and you're like, fair enough. I mean, all these things are happening to you for the way you are.
Correct. That's what I mean. So, it's not really about your beliefs. It's the way you are as a person.
But,
this is why it's happening to you.
She also, because it's filming, is like, she knows it's been annoying. It's not like, for example, oh, I actually believe in this.
But she does, though.
Yeah, but she's also, like, mocking you, like, saying, like, I'm taking this hat that bothers a lot of people and show you the Make America Great Again or whatever. And it's like, if a person will be, like, actually, like, you know, I actually believe what Trump does and, like, he's actually going to change things or whatever, fair enough. You're not just, like, showing, like, oh, I'm going to take this and see how people react to this cat.
Yeah.
It's like, bitch, you just want reactions from people. You just want to annoy people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, she ends up in England with her friend.
Previous band friend.
Yeah, band friend. They would used to be in a band or something.
10 years ago, they were supposed to be
in a band.
Yeah.
Like, the girlfriend clearly doesn't like her. Really rude and, like, saying, like, uncomfortable things. And the girlfriend is like, yeah, I'm not getting it. So she knows that they're having problems because of her. So she got mad and steals the friend car.
Yeah, they kick the girlfriend kicks yeah. Annie out of the house.
Yeah.
And so in retaliation, she steals their car.
Yeah.
And ends up just driving around. She's live streaming all this.
Oh, because the friend is an Uber driver. Just or like a delivery or somewhere where it's...
Yeah,
a delivery food guy or whatever. So she accepts a delivery. And she ends up in this, like, a cheapy place that looks like a, like it's shut, but it's open and she...
It's not open.
Well, no, it's not open. That's true. It's not open. She gets inside and there's a woman saying like, oh, yeah, what are you doing here? Oh, yeah, oh, you're for here. Well, I actually don't have a delivery, but can you do me a favor? And here's when everything starts.
Yeah. So this... woman that she comes into contact with is played by Ceylan, don't know how you pronounce that, Baxter, who was in Host. She was the
I really like Host, by the way.
I didn't love
Host. I know you didn't. I liked it,
but I didn't love it. Everybody had it as... Put it this way. This is a controversial opinion. I like Dashcam more than Host. That's a very controversial opinion.
Oh, no. I... like Host
to me was a decent but not great version of, I think Unfriended did it better. The Unfriended idea of being really like possessed social media, possessed online or whatever. I know it's not specifically a Zoom call, but it's the same idea. This is obnoxious in a way that Host and Unfriended aren't, but it's its own beast and I had more fun with it as a result. So anyway, she meets Ceylan Baxter, who is a Scottish actor,
mm-hmm.
and I think my favourite joke in the whole movie is the fact that Ceylan Baxter is clearly Scottish, and the comments online, the live, it's not Twitch, but it's like Twitch, like live stream, Bandcamp or whatever, the comments that pop up, one of them calls her Welsh, and then one of them says something about her Irish accent. No, I was like, that's a great joke. This person's Scottish, and these fucking Americans, these fucking online people, have identified her twice incorrectly. IndieWire, in their review for this movie, also called her Irish.
Oh.
And I'm just like, you fucking idiots.
Oh my god, IndieWire is... Yeah,
that's
okay.
A professional thing. That's two jokes. And then you'd be like, why did you go with Irish? Because she's also called Welsh in the comments. Why didn't you go with Welsh? Why Irish? You must have believed that she's Irish. Which means IndieWire, I'm fucking calling you out, IndieWire. You get paid for this shit. She's Scottish. It's a joke. There's another one right before it. She's called Welsh. It's a joke. Anyway. She has a woman that needs to be taken to a specific address. And this woman is clearly unwell. Now, when we say unwell, what we mean is this woman is... like a vampire or something? I don't fucking know. Like, she can control...
Well, when we see her, she looks unwell.
She just looks unwell.
Yeah,
but
like...
But we find out, like, she shits herself.
In the car. It's so disgusting.
We see it.
And then she has the mouth, like...
stapled together.
Yeah.
We see her piss herself. Like, as I say, there's a lot of bodily functions in this. But it appears that she then, as she takes her to this address as she is live streaming all this, and her friend is trying to get his car back. As all this shit's going on, it becomes increasingly clear that this is not just some random woman they're taking to some random address. This is like a fucking conspiracy. Is this person possessed by a demon? Are they a vampire? What the fuck is going on? She's got an Ariana Grande tattoo, and apparently she's 16, but she looks like she's in her mid to late 50s.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is going on? And whatever is possessing this girl eventually makes her turn violent.
Yeah.
And so, it's essentially the... if you remember the very end of the Blair Witch Project where they're just running through the woods, basically.
It's that.
That for 40 minutes. Yeah. Whereas they get in the car, they drive, this person smashes the car, and then they have to escape out the car, and they have to go into the woods.
Like for some reason.
And the person's chasing them, and then someone appears with a shotgun, because they're like, we need to kill that girl. Then somebody's like, that's my daughter, and people just appear. It's like a weird, almost like a role-playing game of some sort, where you're in like a haunted house, and people just popping out and saying, like, I'm related to this person, and you have to come with me. And you go with them, and then a car will hit that person out of nowhere, and you're like, fuck, who the fuck was that driving that car? Let's get away from that. And it's just mad.
Yeah, it's, and again, you don't get explanations of anything of this, like, why she looks older than she is, why she's possessed, like, nothing gets explained. And the thing is that It doesn't matter, I think. That's the thing I found easy to watch. Like, you know what? It doesn't matter what it is. You're just watching, like, someone getting attacked.
Because the characters never figure it out.
Exactly. And it does fine. Like, and that's okay. You don't need to know everything.
You just know that this person is some evil about this person.
Clearly, something bad is happening to her. Yes.
Some people who are chasing you want her dead, and some people are like, that's my daughter, we need to save her. And at the same time, whatever evil is taking over this person is also manifesting itself in violent ways and attacking you.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it just cycles through each motion time and time again. There's explosions, there's shit, there's piss, blood. Like there's probably vomit. I don't remember there being vomit, but I feel like there probably is.
And you know what? If you tell me...
There's woods, there's inside of restaurants, there's...
Houses. An empty house.
Yeah, there's...
A fancy mansion.
Yeah.
Like, if you tell me right now that's a director that has been... like obsessed with horror films and finally got money to do something and did this, I do believe you, because he has everything. Like, he just, like, you know what, I'm gonna finally make a horror movie, and I'm gonna put the blood, the piss, the poo, a ghost and something jump and superpowers, and it's possessed and it's a cult and it's a, and you're like, what's going on here? And again, I think it works. Like,
it's like the hundreds and thousands on top everything, of ice
cream. Exactly. Drops everything there, and it kind of works because he doesn't need to explain. Or is that he?
The director is, yeah. Co-written by one other man and one woman.
So it's okay. Like, he can get away with it because it's just short, it's fun. And when I was watching the movie, I covered my eyes a few times. I was like, let me know when this finished. And I was like gagging. I was like, I even jumped. You get all the emotions. It's a fair movie to star, and I really, really like it. Again, and the character is fucking annoying.
Yeah, she is.
But I think you're supposed to don't like the character.
No, you're definitely not meant to
side. And you're not rooting for the character, but you kind of want the character to be alive, because...
You want her to survive each sequence... To get more.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly my point. That's what I thought. If for some reason, again, it doesn't get explained, but this old woman possessed, I think the name was Angela.
I'm pretty sure it's Angela.
She just wants to be with her, because they drop her somewhere and then the woman follows her. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and I was like, is this kind of like a subtle way that's like, shit karma is gonna follow you if you are like that? Maybe. So don't be shit, because Angela is gonna follow you. So basically, karma.
Angela's gonna fall. Angela is like the manifestation of karma.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah. It's like, is everything bad happening and keep following her, like following her.
Yeah. For like some every reason. Time she gets away.
Yeah.
She'll just appear.
And yeah, and it's still like wants to attack her or something. Like, what's going on? Like, why her? Why not the friend, or why not the sister that is looking for her? Because Angela ended up killing everybody around the main character. Yes, and kills everybody except this girl. It's just follow her.
No, she attacks her.
Well, yes, she attacks her and survives somehow. And I was like, okay, it's karma. her name should be Karma. Like, if you're a shit person, Angel is gonna come for you and try to rip your head off.
But I don't get your analogy there, because Angela rips the heads off and kills other people. She does kill other people.
Yeah, and that's why Angel is always gonna be behind you.
But I don't get it. If it's karma, why does the shit person survive? How's that karma? That's the opposite of karma.
But Angela never dies.
No, but Annie doesn't die.
Yes, and the other
one... Angela does die. Angela, when they go to the house, she turns into like some big giant fucking white worm thing. Like, yeah. The fucking, whoever's possessing her and comes out.
Where?
Oh, I don't remember. But what I'm saying is, Annie escapes and goes back to the States at the end of the movie. How is that karma? She's been the worst person the entire time. She's had a shit evening and she's been tortured non-stop.
I thought she was just floating in a river.
Who was floating in a river?
The shit woman.
Annie?
Yeah.
No, she gets on a plane and flies home.
Oh, I don't see that. Oh, I don't remember
seeing
that.
She returns home, yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that.
It's the exact opposite of karma.
Oh, okay.
Which
then
is maybe why people
have
a problem.
That's why
with
I don't remember. That's why I was saying that. Oh, well, there you go, guys. I have this totally wrong.
Oh, wait, hold on.
I don't forget.
Hold on. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm thinking of the plane coming into England at the start of the movie.
Yeah, I don't remember. I'm pretty sure she's...
So Annie, right, let's go to Wikipedia. Annie uses a knife to kill Angela. At the same time, so Annie kills Angela, but at the same time, a humanoid slug-like creature bursts out of Annie's mouth and hunts for Annie. Mm-hmm. Angela's mouth and hunts for Annie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Annie uses the keyboard...
Oh, yeah, I remember
the keyboard. To beat the creature to death. So she kills the creature. She does kill the creature. Exhausted from the night's events, Annie takes a break in the car as the live stream starts up again. Because the live stream will sometimes cut out whenever they've not got like internet connection. We still see it, but there's no comments popping up or whatever. And that's how it ends. She's just in the car.
Yeah, she's still there. Yeah.
Kind of crying, laughing. She doesn't die, but she kills the beast.
Yeah. Oh, well, there.
That's not karma.
I hate her.
Yeah, but again, I think you're meant to. I mean...
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. Some people probably will watch it and agree with it. You can't... I don't know what the word is. You can't protect a film from that people are going to take the wrong message from it. People took the wrong message from Wolf of Wall Street, for example. Like, people really, really think that they want...
I want to be Leonardo
DiCaprio.
I can see that.
He's a fucking criminal the entire movie. He's a shit person and he ends up in jail. Why do you want to be like that? But... And then people really criticised that movie when it came out as well for not showing the victims. And Martin Scorsese was like, it's not the point of the movie. And it's like, yes, but the audience might be taken. And it's like, at some point you have to say, you've got to trust the audience to get the message. If they don't get the message, then is it really on the filmmaker? At some point, have to say the audience has to take responsibility from what they take from a movie.
Yeah.
Now, you could argue that really Dashcam doesn't have much of a message. And I'd probably agree with it. I'd say it is more of like a cinematic version of trolling, which is kind of infantile and childish and provocative for no real reason. It's just immature or whatever. But you know what? With a glass of wine and some popcorn and some and just beer, popcorn, burgers, whatever, I thought it was fucking fun. I did. That doesn't mean I come out of it and start going up to people going, Trump should have been elected again. You know, it's not what I believe. It's not what I agree with.
But the movie's fun.
I thought it was
fun.
It's
short. It's fun. I mean, it has everything. A little bit of everything.
I think horror fans probably like this movie more than general public.
Yeah, probably.
I would say. Again, that's maybe a bit of a...
I really thought we had a good time going to the movie.
For the Toronto International Film Festival People's Choice Award for Midnight Madness in 2021, it came third behind You Are Not My Mother, which is on Netflix now here, but we haven't seen, and Titan, which was the winner.
Oh.
2020, they only had a winner, which I haven't seen, Shadow in the Cloud. 2019, The Platform was the winner. Then The Vast of Night, was second. The Fast Eight is way better than the platform. I don't know what the fuck's going on there. 2018, the winner was The Man Who Feels No Pain. Never seen it. Halloween by David Gordon Green in second place. Okay. Oh, Assassination Nation in third place in 2018. So, essentially, this is the 21 version of Assassination Nation. As in, it got third place in that competition. Mm-hmm. Both of them did. Assassination Nation is... Could that go down as obnoxious horror? I love Assassination Nation as well.
I know you do.
That might be able, you might be able to put that down to obnoxious horror as well. Maybe we're in it. Maybe I've done it. If this episode goes viral, let's coin that term, obnoxious horror. Elevated horror, see you later.
Yes.
Obnoxious horror, you are in the door.
Let's do this. Come on, let's get trend. Do that.
So yeah, Dashcam, not a hit. Let's be honest, it was not a hit. No. Nobody saw it.
But it's fun.
If
you're able to like get tickets to go and see that, definitely go.
And if you're willing to, again, as I say, you're going to have to, especially, I would imagine most people that listen to this, I could be wrong, but given that we have talked about in the past, you know, that we, you know, got vaccinated 3 times and fucking COVID.
Well, we follow rules. We follow the rules,
whatever. But sometimes we critique the, you know, the government strategy, like they don't know what they're doing, but we still follow the rules that were given to us. So I find it hard to believe that anti-vax and stuff listen to us. Maybe they do. I don't know. If they do, just to let you know, I don't give a fuck if you're an anti-vax. I really don't care. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me I'm wrong. Because I could not care less.
You know what? It's kind of like a, like you're trying to convince me to love like chocolate ice cream.
Well, I couldn't give
and
a
I was
fuck.
Like, okay. And every time you see me, it's like, you know, I love chocolate ice cream and cow chocolate ice cream. Okay, yeah, fair enough. I know. And then like, oh. But if,
I get
but,
why people oh, don't
but
want to talk
but I do like other ice cream. No, but you have to only like this. And it's like, stop trying to convince me of one thing that you... And it's like, oh, so what did you do this weekend? You know what? Do you like ice cream? Do you like chocolate ice cream? It's like, oh my God. Like, we're talking about something that you always have to bring this. You know what? They always make fun of vegan people for saying like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm vegan. You are that fucking people. Like, you're always bringing up that shit.
Yep.
And it's like, we don't care. Can you be just regular people talking about, like, oh, it's really hot today. Yeah, because the government is doing... Oh, my God. Like,
yeah.
I don't
just
fucking
never
care.
Happy.
It's like, oh, like, come on, enjoy the sun. Enjoy a glass of wine. Yeah, but you know, the, it's like... Oh.
With the vegans. I used to say that about people, like, who smoke weed.
Mm-hmm.
They would be like, oh, do you know how... Was, the joke is, how would you know if someone's a vegan? They'll tell you. That's the joke.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, to me, I don't think it is vegans. I used to always be like, do you know what it is? It's fucking weed smokers. People who smoke weed, they fucking love to tell you. You'd just be sitting around and they'll be like, oh man, I could go wear a joint right now. And you're like, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Anti-vaxxers, they are the new breed of that.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
So fucking annoying. Now, that is what this movie deals with. And that is what this movie has front and centre for an hour and 10 minutes, or however long this movie is, because it is short. But I'm able to sort of switch part of my brain off, or not switch part of my brain off, but I'm able to sort of interpret my own version
no,
of events.
No, you are allowed to just sit and watch and say, this is a movie.
As in,
yeah.
I was like, okay, so none of this story happens if she follows the regulations that are in place in America. Whether it's And if she's a bit nicer to people, she doesn't end up in England if she follows the American regulations, but fair enough if she ends up in England. If she's not a bitch and a fucking dick to people, she doesn't get kicked out of the house.
Yeah.
And if she's not just a horrible person, she doesn't steal the car. None of this happens. So I'm watching the movie going, it's not a critique of anti-vaxxers or MAGA. Like, that's maybe the one thing where it falls down. Maybe it could go for that, I don't know. But I'm sitting watching it from my lens going, oh, none of this happens if you just shut up for a second and stop thinking that you're the most important person in the world.
Yeah.
If you just sit back for a minute, chill the fuck out, none of this happens. Now, it might land the message better if she died at the end. Maybe. This is not a perfect film. This is not my favourite film of the year. I'm not going to try and say that, but I did have fun. So I'm willing to see where, in fact, I already know where Jed Shepard and Rob Savage, Rob Savage is the director. Jed Shepard is the co-writer, mm-hmm. and Gemma Hurley is a co-writer as well. Yes, I already know what they're making next. You'll be interested in this.
Oh, what is it?
It's an adaptation of your favourite short story.
Oh, the Stephen King.
Yes.
The Men in the Black Suit.
No, okay, then not your favourite, your second favourite.
Oh, The Boogeyman.
The Boogeyman, yes. They are making, and as far as I'm aware, they have already made, they're currently in the editing phase. Mm. So that is next for them. So host, dash cam, The Boogeyman.
Ooh.
Which is quite a jump. Because Stephen King, as much as Stephen King is synonymous with horror, it's not the same type of horror that I get from this. I see how you went from host to this.
Yeah, oh, this is a different horror, yeah.
I see the connection. Okay, one of them's more annoying or whatever and in your face. But I see, you know, I see the jump you made. Then you say, oh, now we're doing Stephen King. I'm a bit like, oh, interesting. That's a bit more traditional than what you've been doing. So I'm interested to see where they go next, but call this a review of Dashcam, call it a discussion, call it nonsense, call it whatever you like. We're just here to say, if you like horror films, you might like this. Mm-hmm. And if you're interested in getting into horror films, you might not, but it might just sort of kick your interest up a gear, or you might think, well, that wasn't for me, but are there better versions of this out there? Yes, there are. And then you go from there. We're just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
So, and I'll try and get this right, because another reason why people don't listen to this podcast, Isela, is because at the end of each episode, we say, thank you for listening, in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Also, you're going to say in English.
No, I'm going to say it in Spanish.
Oh.
But I realised, listening back, that I say it with a really fucking obnoxious, terrible, kind of Americanized accent. Like, it doesn't sound Spanish.
Okay.
Oh, it doesn't sound Mexican.
Okay.
So, I'm going to try.
Okay, try.
Pressure's on. Thank you for listening. Gracias por escucharnos.
Y hasta la próxima.